Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now the season/series? Finale of Loki. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And as mentioned, we're going to be talking about Loki, Season 2, Episode 6, Glorious Purpose, confusingly named because the first episode of the show ever was Glorious Purpose. You get it. It's an Ouroboros. It's a snake eating
its loop.
Tail. It's a loop. It's a time loop. Time is all we have. It's not a question of who, it's a question of when, but also it's a question of who. We're going to get into spoilers here, obviously, and talk about all of this. But a brief bit of recap of the episode, in case you don't remember or were confused. It was confusing. We'll get into all of
this. I feel like you've done this before, Alex.
Perhaps.
I'll do it in short.
I'll do like a scooch.
I wish you would.
A very short Brit. So Loki is time slipping. He's gotten control of those powers for the most part. He has jumped back in time to the TVA right before the loom explodes. And basically, as predicted, goes through a Groundhog Day of a sort over the course of the episode, jumping back multiple groundhogs, groundhogs all over the place. There is a groundhog infestation on this episode, let's be honest. As Loki time slips, he becomes more and more powerful over the course of the episode as he tries to prevent the TVA from being destroyed. Ultimately, what he finds out was this was all part of He Who Remains' plan from season one. And in fact, what He Who Remains was trying to do was create a failsafe. If Sylvie killed him, he would prove to one of the Lokis, probably our Loki, and as it turns out, our Loki, that there are only two choices. One choice is let him live, keep the sacred timeline, and keep everybody safe, everybody Loki loves. The other choice is kill him, and the loom explodes, and the multiversal war explodes with all of the Kang variants, and everything is lost. Loki, however, by the end of the episode, finds a third way. The third way is he goes out on the bridge, blows up the loom, takes all of the strands, uses his now immensely powerful magic to reignite part, not all of the multiverse, not the out-of-control infinity that it was, but whatever he actually can do with his own hands and his own power, steps up to the chair that He Who Remains was sitting on, turns it into a golden throne, and finally, after multiple Marvel movies and multiple seasons of TV shows, he finds his glorious purpose, becomes the new kind of king of the multiverse, god of time, if you will.
God of stories.
God of stories. There you go.
And the biggest thing I think we can say is that he becomes a tree.
He becomes a tree.
He becomes a tree. He's huge on threads.
And then we catch up with everybody else and we find out how they end up, how the TVA ends up without Loki. We get some closure on everybody there. Kick into the new status quo for the TVA. If we're going to, I assume, talk about the future of the MCU and how this affects it, where now they are keeping track of the Loki tree and also tracking down Kang variants, He Who Remains variants, throughout the multiverse and trying to shut them down before they caused more damage. That is the new mission of the TVA when we end up here. So that said, I am curious to hear what you guys thought of it. Oh, Pete, do you want to talk about the Marvel flip first?
Yes, because they did the Marvel flip backwards, man. Speaking of time loops, like Marvel pliff.
It felt like a pliff.
Marvel pliff.
It was awesome. I was having such a great time at the beginning because everything was going backwards, including the Marvel flip, which was so fun to see backwards. I just thought that was such a cool way to start things off.
And I think we can probably end there without any negativity whatsoever.
There we go.
Your endless enthusiasm for the Marvel pilf is amazing. Like, honestly, that's real magic.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's nice that we can talk about it a little bit here. You know what I mean?
I guess my biggest question that I have, and I don't want to have a huge take at the top of the show that affects our ability to talk about it, but did I like this? Just tell me, did I like this episode? And I guess this show.
Well, what I did like about it is we didn't get kind of put in a situation where Kang is going to be being used as we go forward. It seems like this did a good job of being like, well, Kang's done. You know what I mean? Loki is kind of like.
I don't think so.
I think to answer your question, Justin, what I liked about it was how much Loki grew. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't
like a tree.
Yeah, he did. He grew like a tree, but he stepped up. Like, things were impossible. He found a way. Like, the centuries later, like, the anguish and everything. When we had that moment of it finally working, like, the years they went through to make that happen, it was really impressive to see him go through all that in one episode, even though it was literally centuries long.
There's a couple of things that I want to respond to here. The first thing that I'll respond to is the Kang thing, and then I want to get back to thoughts on the episode. So there was, we've talked about this on the podcast before, there was a big article that came out in Variety that was talking about the state of the MCU. And one of the things they had, I'm forgetting the exact term, but it was like industry insider, said they had seen the finale of Loki and they're like, given the Kang situation, Marvel is fucked. They believe they used the word fucked.
Yeah.
Watching the episode, I was like, what is he talking about? There's very easy outs here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely what I liked. Well, they're definitely setting it up to be like, okay, the TVA is going after Kang. Kang is still a threat that is out there, but Victor Timely is gone. He Who Remains is gone. There's Kang Multiversal. Like I was sort of throwing out there in the last episode, if you really want to pivot into Loki is the big guy in Secret Wars, there is a perfect setup at the end here for that 100%. Definitely. So you really don't need Kang other than, oh, he's a threat out there. Oh, weird. He came back with a different face and is a different person. Cool. You know, this is such an easy pivot point off of Kang if they really want to.
And I really thought they were unfucked. This episode made me think Marvel's unfucked.
That's
like they could pivot directly, like we said on, I think, the last episode of this, to Loki being the villain. He can go dark at the center of the tree and start to have his variants doing what Kang was going to do.
Yes. Also, what I liked was we didn't get the dramatic acting, you know, Kang. We got regular Kang. And, oh, man, going back to that Kang was just awesome to have him interacting with Loki and, like,
Peeps talking about pausing. He Who Remains here.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Timely. Yes.
Yes.
No, yeah. I meant Timely was the one that we went away from, is what you were saying.
Yeah, I liked the stuff that
I like
we
how
got.
Unconfusing this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how Pete's plowing forward like a character.
Yeah. By the way, if you're only listening to the audio podcast, Pete's brains are literally pouring out of his ears right now.
There's vein throbbing right at the front of his forehead.
I'd say try the gray stuff. It's delicious, but it looks bad. You got to get that looked at, man. We did get He Who Remains back here. I don't know if it's like a residual effect of all the Jonathan Majors stuff, but it felt nowhere near as sharp as the season one finale. And I think that's my big criticism. I will say on the positive side, I liked this finale. I think this was my favorite episode of the season. I have some quibbles and concerns that we'll certainly get into. But overall, I don't think this was nearly as sharp or as interesting a season of TV as the first season. Whoa. And I think that came through in a lot of the different choices. My big overall take on this episode in particular, which goes into the entire second season of the show, is they probably could have done the story and they could have cut 2.5 episodes and been totally fine.
100%.
The Renslayer and Miss Minute stuff didn't play
into it. Not necessary.
The Victor Timely stuff, you really could cut it out entirely and sub any other character going out of the bridge. And you take that from the time jumps, like, where did he go to? He went to the last episode.
He went to school. He learned to be an engineer and stuff.
All I'm saying is from the plot of the 6 episodes, he skipped most of it. Like, we ignored most of it. Probably better for it. But you would have had a much tighter, much more interesting season if you had gotten to it much quicker. Because the ultimate revelations, things like, this is what the Loom's true purpose is and everything else. These are the questions we ask, like, what is going on here? Not in a, ooh, what is going on here questioning way so much as a, like, this is unnecessarily confusing. And the reason it's unnecessarily confusing is because the Loom does exactly what we thought it is, and you just didn't want to tell us that. So that ultimately is very frustrating. Pete, you 100% disagree. Everything was perfect. It's a beautiful child. Don't make fun of my child. Take it away.
Not all that, but at least let's talk about the key of it all. He was so amazing.
Loki?
Especially not Loki. I'm talking about the actor, Dada.
Kwan.
Yeah, Kwan.
Oh, Kwan.
Yeah. Just so his, especially last episode, like all the fun lines he got and all the, I just think that as an actor, he brought so much to an insane plot, and he was such a light of joy every time he was on screen. So I hear what you're saying, plot wise, technically wise, but the key of it all made it worth so much to
he
me.
Was not, he was hardly in this episode.
Well, that was another problem that I
had.
He
was talking about the whole season. He was saying he had problems with the whole
season.
No,
we're jumping all over the place. It's fine. You're fine, Pete. I agree with you. He was great. His shrug at the end when Hunter B-15 was like, hey, she's not going to, Miss Minutes, you're bringing her back. She's not going to kill us. And he was like, I don't know. That was very funny.
So funny.
Everybody was very funny. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
The show ended up coming back to being about Loki, but it's just sort of made everything feel not important, all the other characters, because the story ended up not being about them at all. It was about him doing everything multiple times. I mean, Loki even says, what a waste of time. And I was like, I would have a hard time putting that in my script for a show that was too long. But it's just like, all the Zaniac stuff, X5, all the like TVA killing in the tiny box, that stuff was not even Renslayer. They do a great little moment where we got to see her after she got. I was like, this is meaningless. What does this mean?
Why is she being punished? You know?
Yeah.
What do you mean punished? When Eliath ate her.
Eliath dissolved her.
Like, well, maybe, or maybe she had got up and run, but it was cool to see her.
What I thought was cool about Renslayer was the story that Mobius told when he was in his last scene with Loki, where he's like, this agent didn't prune this kid because he hesitated for a moment. Again, great moment and playing into this thing that he likes being a dad, which felt tacked on, but this really, I liked this moment. And then we find out that Renslayer was his partner who did what had to be done. I was like, cool moment. But that was literally the only value of Renslayer in this whole season. Yeah. I was like, what a waste.
Well, I'll throw something else out there to pivot off of the point that you're saying. And again, I like this cast. Don't think I don't like this cast. Listener/Pete, who is also listening, I think.
Also a listener.
Yeah. Also listening. The Cass spent most of the time just standing around being like, what are you doing, Loki? What's going on?
All their lines were like, huh, you seem to know a lot. Suddenly.
Yeah. Loki didn't have enough time to explain it to him. We knew it was happening.
Why did they have to keep saying
it? Well, but also they didn't do anything. Like, they didn't play in. And to the point that you're making, I thought the scene where he jumps back and talks to Mobius, very good. Because he went back for a pep talk, so great. That's great. It also gives us the information that he now knows how to spaghettify the timelines and do that. So that plays into eventually the place that he ends up at the end of the episode. Same thing with the conversation with Sylvie, where Sylvie's like, I'm not going to give you permission to kill me. Another good conversation that gets a little bit to the heart of the relationship. But given how much time we spent in the previous episode with, like, these are the people that are really important to him, which includes Ouroboros. There's friends. Ouroboros, Hunter B-15, who, as I mentioned last episode, I'm not sure they've ever had talked, and Casey.
Eugene.
They didn't play into it at all. Like, they didn't do anything. So as much as I appreciated, like you were saying, the focus back on Loki, these are wasted elements of a show when you have a limited amount of time. And you should be thinking about what is the best use, not to keep using the word, but what is the best use of our time that is allotted? I think the first season did that and used every single moment to explore the character of Loki. How are we pushing it forward? How do these people pivot off him? What information are we adding about the TVA that adds information about Loki? By extension, that Sylvie becomes an extension of Loki, who is her own character. Mobius is his own thing that pivots off Loki in a way. It's all, Loki is the fulcrum, but here he's the wheel all by himself, and everybody else is just watching the car go.
It's just weird because you're like, oh man, when's the show gonna get back to being about Loki? And then it does that, and you're like,
it did it too much.
Why is it too much on Loki?
It did it too much.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I did like about it is we see this character who's like, ooh, maybe I'm mistress, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm a good guy. He went through hell and back. When he kept saying again and again, like, that was just, oh my God, it was so crushing. And to see him get this kind of small victory and then realize, I can't include these people. It takes too much time. I have to do it myself. I have to step up and be the one who becomes the time tree. I liked seeing that journey and seeing this person who was never going to sacrifice himself finally step up and do what needs to be done so that other people can live their lives and Owen Wilson can creepily stand there and watch Owen Wilson be a dad. And he's just like, don't leave me here. I'm just going to be super, I'm just going to stop myself for the rest of the life. I think that's a good use of your time. I'm just going to watch a life that I could have had, but not interact with or try to get my own life.
Go stalk yourself.
Yeah, there was actually the post-credit scene I thought was really interesting where he kidnapped his own kids. That was pretty messed up, but made sense.
He wants, he was like, no, it's me. And they're like, you're not my dad. He's just in that other room.
It's like, no, no, no.
My two dads.
Your real dad's dead. I killed him.
Wow.
I just ruined him.
You guys like key lime pie?
I to the point of what I think you were all saying is like this show could have just been Mobius, Obi, and Loki with a little bit of Sylvie in there, and then that's the show.
No, because what I'm saying, Eugene in there, bro.
I want all that stuff, but what Alex is saying, like they didn't use them for anything but like a bit of bait, a little carrot at the end of the stick for Loki that was just played into last episode. The rest of it is just them as filler, as like stuff.
Let me throw out an edit to you, if that's okay. And I know we hate doing this, and I know our listeners hate doing this, but I couldn't stop thinking about this. As I expressed earlier, I was frustrated by the fact that we had Mobius go out on the bridge in the suit, go to the end, put the doohickey in the thing, and shoot the doohickey at the loom. And then they're like, let's do that again, but slightly differently with some more science language. Cut out all that stuff in the middle. Be like, the loom is about to explode. That is causing, we think, Loki to time slip. Let's stop this. They don't do it. The loom explodes. He goes back in time, just like we saw in the previous episode, ultimately learns to control his time slipping, and then goes through this Groundhog's Day thing and learns, no, his time slipping was actually caused by He Who Remains. It brings you back. Maybe the only time you see Sylvie, rather than Sylvie's arc being like, I'd rather work at McDonald's, leave me out of this, which is so uncomfortable to watch.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. The first time you see her is back at He Who Remains. That's way more emotionally affecting.
That's great. Okay. Yes, agreed. Then we get an episode about her or something. Because I'll let you yell in a second, Pete, but because what I was saying similarly is like this feels like an hour and a half movie's worth of story that they did the thing of complicating in the middle and adding all this like grindy bits that they had to like, okay, now we got to say this. We have to have these characters do this. When if they just did a beginning and then this end episode, like you're saying, and then had some fun in the middle, like a show where we could just like do some like story of the week type episodes of the TVA, whether it's trimming out some He Who Remains or something in there, that's fun. And that doesn't feel like so sweaty. That's the thing about this episode for me and this season, so sweaty. You feel the work that's being done on it. And this episode had some nice writing and the story of Loki sacrificing himself, to your point, Pete, I think is very rooted in mythology. It's a god who has to push the rock up the mountain, who sits and watches the world from a distance. That's great. The glorious purpose stuff. It really reflects on Loki as a character throughout all of his time in the MCU. Interesting. But we spent so much time with like them going into the past and the Victor timeline of it all. Like
that's
it was a waste of time.
Well, all right. I'm glad we're done with your guys' giving Marvel notes. I just think that Loki had to.
Real quick. How much longer do I have in my life? Because that's the amount of time I'm going to have to give Marvel notes.
Ridiculous. We asked for this, and then we got it, and you're fucking complaining. All right, listen. The thing that Loki had to see was that people are important, life is important, it's worth fighting for to be able to get to this sacrifice part, because Dick Loki was never gonna do this. He needed to see the importance of life and the importance of people, friendship, connection, whether they're just kind of orbs in time that you need to get to a place or not.
Orbs. We're orbs in time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would throw out to you, Pete, there's a selfish way to read this as well. He wanted his throne. He wanted his glorious purpose, and he got it. Right. That's what, and we set that up because that's the other thing about the whole
Friends
thing.
But that's not how he got there.
He didn't, like, he's not talking to those people anymore. He may be quietly observing Mobius from his thread throne. When, like, really, like, he's just doing what he wants. He wants to the power, and he gets it.
Yeah, there's, but that's a reading not of how it. He got there, though. He wasn't like,
what did he do?
I'm going
to
just go do this myself because I'm a selfish dick and I wanted a throne. No, he had to go and try to save everybody to learn that, like, okay, fine, I'll be the one to make the sacrifice and step up instead of, you know, I'll take away my life so other people can have one.
I think you're right that there is a way of looking at it as selfish, given everything we know of Loki. I don't read it that way. I do look at it as the selfless sacrifice that we were talking about last episode. But I thought the thing that was really interesting about it, to the point that you're making, Justin, is it feels like a curse, right? Like it's you got what you wanted, what you always said you wanted, and in the way where you had to give up absolutely everything, sacrifice everything to get it. So he does get this thing and he's sitting on the throne. And I think the way that Tom Hiddleston plays it is there's a bit of contentment there. And there's also a bit of frustration at the same time, because he can play both of those emotions, because he needs to now sit here for literally all of eternity. He is the remainder, to the point that he who remains makes.
He is he who remains.
Yeah, he is he who remains. He's the twist there that they do is it's not who's left at the end. It's the remainder from an equation. It's the thing on the outside. And that's what I think makes Loki ultimately realize, wait, there isn't only two ways of solving this problem. I am the remainder. I am the thing that is outside of this. I am jumping through time. I can solve this problem my own way. But that leaves him in a place where he gets what he always professed he wanted, but he can. That means he is cursed to never be involved in the lives of the people he loves. In terms of the ongoing story of the MCU, I don't think this is the last we see to Loki. I don't think we're going to get a Loki season 3, but like we're saying, I think we'll see him again if they end up going into a Secret Wars type situation, because he is now the center of the multiverse. He is the power of the multiverse. But yeah, just to kind of bring it together.
And he's got to get some gloves or something, because you know how ropes can like dig into your hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, that's got to be tough to hold.
Can I throw out one more criticism without Pete getting really mad at me? We need to come up. We need to decide what the visual signifier for the multiverse is in the MCU, because it's driving me a little insane.
It's a tree.
Now it's a tree.
Well, they took the loom and put it on its end.
Golden rope tree.
No, I know. And it looked like an hourglass when you twisted it, and then it turned into a tree. I get all that. All I'm saying is that it was like this wild fractal time at the end of the first season. And that's what they followed through for a while. And then they're like, no, it's ropes. It's all ropes. And we got to weave those ropes into one rope. And then the ropes go crazy and the ropes die. And now they're very specifically ropes. Like they're literally strands that a person could hold. Yep. And also they're waves at the same time. And now we're going to turn it into an hourglass, which turns into a tree. So just finish at the tree. We're good. That's what the multiverse is. Let's move on from that.
Well, the only thing with the tree, because I like the tree as it connects to Loki and Norse mythology. But it doesn't make sense from a like Secret War perspective, where it's about crashing things together. Mm-hmm. The tree doesn't, that's just ever branching, crashing in together. What, it's going to become a rod again, or?
I don't know. Well, to throw it, actually, I forgot what the second thing is, but.
You were going to talk about how, if there's a tree, there's got to be Keebler elves that live in the roots and make really great cookies.
Oh, I remember. That's right. That was exactly
They live in the roots? They live in the roots? They live in the tree.
This is why you never get close to a tree. The Keebler elves will grab you. They'll pull you under the tree.
Well, if you're worried about what he's going to eat, in the Tree of Time, the answer is Keebler cookies.
Well, I don't want your mud pie cookies from the
root elves. I was wondering about what he was going to eat. Like, do they bring him meals? Is that what the TVA job is?
Alex, obviously the answer is McDonald's, freshly delivered. From his variant Sylvie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was one thing I wanted to yell at you about. I love the idea that her...
Hold on, can I say my two things before I forget, just real quick? Fine, I'll write them down. Go ahead, Pete, you're going to be too mad at me.
I just think that the idea of, like, you know, your first job, a fun job, you know, JT Sizz over here, he talked about how he liked working the drive-thru at Burger King.
Exactly, my first podcast.
The idea of these things and being able to kind of go back to them is this fun thing. And I like Sylvie being like, this is my happy place. When I was all I had to be in charge of was this McDonald's. I was managing a couple people. We have to just make sure that this McDonald's runs okay. And that was her happy place. I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I guess. I don't know. I still would have loved her to be more engaged with the season as a whole in literally any way. But
well, I think my
she
criticism,
was very engaged.
Was she? Every scene, she was like, I got to leave.
My criticism of Sylvie was she went from being like, I don't care about any of this, to being like, I can't ever do that one thing. I was like, what? Choose a lane, lady. It just felt like there was, and it's just hard to hold on to any of these characters from an emotional core. How like there were so many interesting things at play here, and only in the scenes where like the He Who Remains and Loki scene, I know you're saying, Alex, it wasn't as sharp as last season. It was still one of the better scenes. I felt like it was two people talking to each other about something that has ramifications and stakes. He Remains is weird and quirky and funny in the way that Victor Timely is annoying.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy is
that was fun. He's like, hey, I was Victor.
And he's talking shit about him. So like, I thought that scene was good. I thought there were some great lines here and some great moments. It's just the weight of so much plot from the rest of the season and the references of Groundhog's Day and Everything Everywhere All at Once were too present. They didn't hide their homages well enough for me. I was like, you're going to do a double Groundhog Day here when we've already done Everything Everywhere All at Once and the story is literally also about time and loops and multiverse? I was like, come on, guys. Get a little more.
A Looper reference in there. Maybe some Back to the Future sprinkled in, you know?
Yeah,
I have something to say about that as well, but I do want to, before I forget, get to the two things that Pete wouldn't let me talk about before I was so mean about it.
Let's get to more.
So the Yggdrasil thing, the world tree, I like the visual reference there. It is weird that they were already like back. I know it's back in Thor, so whatever. We don't care about any of that stuff, and they've changed so many things at this point.
Why wouldn't we care?
Well, that was back in the days when Thor was like, what you call magic, we call science. And 10 movies later, they're like, magic, it's magic. Yeah. Doop, 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 doop. That's science, magic. Also, there's an afterlife, multiple afterlives in hell. There's hell exists and other things. And ghosts are real. So they don't really care about any of that anymore. But the fact that they were like, Yggdrasil, the world tree is the way that we think of these nine different planets that we connect together. They're in a loose confederation. To then make it the literal Yggdrasil at the end here with the time tree was
pretty cool.
I was going to say a weird move, but
it's a little came back to Thor's drawing when he was, you know, drunk with that scientist.
I think it's to your point, Alex, it's just a little underbaked. It's like, I see why you did that, but it doesn't make sense the way you gave it to us.
Right. Exactly. And then the other thing, this is more a theoretical thing. We'll see. I think they're doing interviews today, so I'm sure we'll find out more definitively about this if they do actually want to talk about it. But my impression was, Pete, I think you said something about like he's holding together an infinite number of ropes. My impression was he was saving what he could. Like he blows up the loom. You do have an infinite number of branches, but all the branches are dying. So he's basically grabbing everything that he can in his hands. It becomes his cape, which I thought was a very cool visual as he's walking up to the throne. So it's all connected to him. He is the power conductor that is powering as much of the multiverse as he can handle. And my complete speculation here is this is a way of having a relatively limited multiverse, like almost a DC style multiverse, where it's like we have 52 universes instead of an infinite number, because that's a little easier to handle. It's also, when you get to Secret Wars, a little easier to be like, oh no, there are 100 universes that are crashing together versus there are an infinite amount which people cannot even begin to imagine. So that's my
suggestion
there.
I think that's a good guess. And I think we're going to get a little like a kid is going to tell the story of Loki and how he sacrificed himself. And he's at the center of the tree holding together. And I think he's going to like lose control of it or something, or something's going to happen where that is what gets us Secret Wars and the crashing in of threads. But I just think the visual analogy of the tree is like, I think it works much better in the comics where it's like I forget the word, with the two planets
incursion. From
the multiverse incursion are influencing each other, and they have to, the one breaks and one doesn't. That makes a lot of sense and would make more sense from a battle. Because let me just say, the way they're saying, like, hey, if you don't do this, there's going to be a war. I was like, what? Why? That doesn't make any sense. What? There's no, you're saying that because Secret Wars is coming. I felt like that was a big weakness in a lot of the way they talked about it. Like, you're going to have this brutal war. I was like, no, it'll end time or something. Not have a war where people are going to fight. I was like, what? Why would you think that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's Kangs versus Kangs is what they're saying. And I think the implication there, which I still am not clear on, is somehow Kang's fighting will destroy timelines.
That's what I'm saying, it doesn't make sense unless they're basing it on the scene from Quantumania where all those Kangs are fighting. And I'm like, what? That didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense that they all know that, because the He Who Remains thing is like, if you kill me, another me is going to take my place. It isn't they're all going to fight and you're going to fight and some people are going to die, which is a crazy idea when you have infinite people and multiverse and timeline and he's in charge of keeping them together. There's no fight guaranteed or necessary unless, of course, you're setting up a movie where a fight happens.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Well, I will also say, I know you guys haven't seen The Marvels yet, but there is some, I would say, contradictory information in The Marvels as well.
Of course.
So we'll talk.
Oh, man, that's weird. One thing I'd wonder, we kind of talked about a little bit, when Loki is doing that kind of walk and gathering all the you know, what he's doing actor-wise with his face, it's really awesome to kind of see him kind of like not only grab these ropes, but kind of like it was almost like an aging and like a taking on a kind of responsibility. I just thought it was really powerful and really impressive what the actor was able to kind of convey in those little moments that we got there.
My favorite thing about Loki from the beginning, first time we saw him, is the way he grabs ropes.
Do you remember scene in the first Thor movie when he grabbed those ropes? And you're like, oh, that's never going to come back. Good. And then it did.
That, yeah, it did. They called back to it.
Remember that scene
Loki
where
translates
Thor
as the rope
drew,
grabber.
A tree and was talking about it, and then his brother became a tree.
Yeah.
And the ropes are the swing on the tree that they're swinging on in a fun field. Oh, man. Maybe.
So cool. I did like the visual of that, of him walking down the walkway and it tearing away at his clothes and turning it into the, not exactly classic Loki uniform, but definitely a riff on it with the robes and the cape and the horns,
pretty
like
cool
you were
looking.
Saying. It was
I thought we were
cool.
going to get some nude Loki, some butt cheeks.
Yeah, I was hoping.
You wanted some butt cheeks in that?
In an infinite uniform.
Tasteful butt cheeks?
Nude Lokis.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, like, when they ask how many universes, they're just going to go like 51.
Got him.
One last quibble criticism I'll throw out there. There was a lot of smart people being very stupid about stuff happening this episode as well. Like the whole idea that they were very surprised that they couldn't hold back an infinite number of universes and that there was an infinite number of universes in the multiverse. And that was supposed to be a big revelation. I felt like that was the sort of thing they should inherently understand, because that's the idea
of
it.
Yes, that's their job.
Well, they were so focused on the mechanics that they didn't, you know, think about the magnitude a little bit.
I said this last time where I'm like, why is this a space? Why is it there not enough space for timelines? I was like, what? The whole thing was like, we got to make the circles bigger. I was like, what? What does that mean?
Well, because they also they purposefully didn't explain what the loom does, because they wanted to save the revelation that it was a failsafe created by He Who Remains until the last episode. So it was a lot of like mechanics of holding back information from people. But these are specific instances where I was like, you guys should have known that. Like, I know that, and I do not work at a time variance authority.
Yet. Great job. See if I check it out on
I'm going to go stare at my kids for a
LinkedIn.
While and see if I can.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's what – and I don't want to keep complaining about this show because, like, as I said, this episode had a lot of positive stuff to it.
Sure did,
but
buddy.
The whole season and I guess series is just ironically overwrought and underbaked at the same time. It's like over kneaded the dough and then they didn't let it cook long enough.
I would disagree about the whole series, because go back and watch the first season. I thought that was really well done. And I think I was thinking a lot about the difference.
Watch the whole first series.
I know Pete in particular is going to make fun of me for even breaking this up, but I was thinking about this a little bit in terms of the episode titles for season two versus the episode titles for season one. And the episode titles for season one were all riffs off of Loki. There were some that were not deeply steeped, but steeped in comic book lore, like Journey into Mystery, things like that. And they all played into the ideas of the episode. Here, this season, the episode titles, I think, were like, frankly, kind
except
of underbaked.
Except for the last episode.
No, but here's the thing. Like, they were not focused on
Glorious
Loki.
Glorious Purpose!
Hold on. This is the one that brought it into focus for me, actually. But things like Breaking Brad, that's just stupid. That's a joke on Breaking Bad, which has nothing to do with this. The Heart of the TVA, which is the most generic thing. I know they said it in the episode, but at the same time, I was like, I mean, I know you're riffing off of different things there, but it's not focused on Loki. It's just a generic thing. 1893? That's the year they go back to. Like, that's, you can't get more generic than that. They're not focused on Loki for most of the season. And this last episode being like, oh yeah, we're going to bring it back. It's also called Glorious Purpose because it's a loop. First of all, but, it's not a loop other than
but
the fact
also
that they,
what the old Loki, who is that amazing actor, played when he yelled out Glorious
Purpose.
Yeah,
it's a thing that Lokis say a lot. I get that.
Yeah.
But naming it, they're being like, it's an Ouroboros. It's a loop. It brings it back to the beginning. It doesn't. It brings you to the end here, in fact. And it does pay off on Loki's Glorious Purpose, but ultimately it makes it feel like, because you're repeating the title to me, a knockoff of what they did in the first season.
Well, you're a first season stan. Yeah. Shouts to that. But I feel like this whole thing is meant to be taken as a whole, especially the way they did it. So it just feels like this season sort of tars a little bit what came before to me and makes it feel a little like,
I guess.
If this was all the point, then what?
But I don't think it was. And I know I talked about this the last episode as well. But again, I was thinking about, like, there's so many different ways they could have gone. And so much of what happened in this season seems, frankly, contradictory to what happened in the first season. Maybe there was a rough plan that they worked off of. I honestly don't know. But
I think they had to do a lot of editing saves with everything that was going on with different actors and stuff.
No, they didn't. They very specifically, they're like, wow, this is the first show we didn't go back and reshoot at all. This is exactly what they intended.
And you believe them?
I believe everything everybody tells me all the time. That's the original title of that movie.
Everything everybody tells me all the time. That's the title of this series. One really important thing to say is Glorious Purpose reminds me a lot of Special Purpose from The Jerk, which is Naven Johnson's penis. So it's hard for me to take this Glorious Purpose seriously without thinking Loki's talking about his penis.
He is, though. That is his glorious purpose. And he gets to sit there, and I'm not going to continue this line of thought.
Thank you.
Why don't we move over to our vision board and talk about what we think is next in the MCU? This actually gets into a little bit of news that came out that is tangentially related to this.
New news.
First of all, the SAG strike is over, which is great.
Yeah.
Great news, SAG.
Great news.
One, they got, I think, pretty much everything they wanted, very similar to the writers.
We haven't seen the deal yet, but it is supposedly quite good and addresses, not perfectly, but hits almost everything that they wanted to.
I had heard in terms of the AI protections that they got the studio to get rid of it for everybody except Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is the one person they can scan and use in perpetuity wherever they want.
And he's into it. He loves it. He's been AI for years.
How dare you.
Anyway, the reason I brought this up is because the strike is over. Studios
he is great in that Apple show, you piece of shit.
He is great in that Apple show.
Very fun. Did you see Indy 5? There's a couple AI scenes, I think.
I've seen all of them.
Reason I brought this up is the studios are getting back to scheduling things now that they can go back into production. They're shifting around stuff per the point of our podcast. The big change here, we don't know necessarily on the TV end yet, but there is going to be one MCU movie now next year, which is Deadpool 3, which is immediately going back to shooting. They think they can still make the release date. However, they moved it from, I believe it was in May. Now it's going to come out in July, which originally was Captain America 4's date. That's going to go back reportedly to 3 to 6 months of reshoots. Come out now
months of research.
Come back in 2025. They're basically reshooting the movie at that point, and everything else is going to come out there. The reason I bring this up now is in terms of, ooh, what's coming next after Loki? The immediate thing is Deadpool 3. The TVA is going to play there. Mobius is in the movie.
Well, the Wilson plays most immediate thing is Marvel's this weekend.
Yes. I can tell you Loki has no impact on it whatsoever. There is
still
no
a Marvel movie, Dick.
It's still a Marvel movie.
He's talking about.
Yes, and we're talking about things that roll off specifically of Loki. So on this podcast, Marvel Vision, we talk about the thing we're talking about and then what's coming off of that. That's what we do in our vision board section. You're new to the podcast, so you probably don't know.
You having fun?
This Pete hasn't time slipped yet.
Yeah, this is a real alarm floop. Or whatever.
Nice. Good. I think Pilf. I think this Pete needs centuries of understanding this podcast and then he'll be back.
My point is we are going to get Deadpool 3 that's going to roll off of this. In terms of the rest of this, though, we have no idea when anything else is going to come out.
Well, the good news about that is we can just see Deadpool 3 just time and time again. You know what I mean? They'll have it in the theater like all year long, and we can just keep going to see Deadpool 3.
Here's my problem with Deadpool 3. They're bringing back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and I honestly just think he's too tall, and I don't like him.
Wow. There it is. Little Petrie. And have you guys read any of the supposed leaked plot of Deadpool 3?
No.
I have, yes.
Don't.
I have also, and I'm very excited by that. And I'm not going to say what it is. I'm just going to say I think it's a really smart idea that what they're doing, and it makes sense. All the announcements are only reinforcing the leaked plot, and I think it's going to be great.
Yeah!
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, too. I'm excited to see the TVA play in. I hope they don't bring in Kang in any way in this movie, but I like these.
Maybe a joke.
Like we talked about, though, I think regardless of what we thought of the show, the cast is good. The characters are good. The setting is good. Great. I'm excited to see all of them again. But what else? What else is on your vision board? Would you want to see a Loki season 3? Should we not see Loki again until Secret Wars or at all? What's your take on that?
I feel like this story feels like it's literally getting us to the door of the Secret Wars setup. Not to say that's the movie Secret Wars, but when the MCU fully like locks into like driving towards Secret Wars publicly rather than sort of on the sly, I think we're already there with Loki, so I don't think we'll see him again. And honestly, the scene where Loki says goodbye to Mobius, I was like, they're done talking to each other. It felt like a real goodbye. So, and now that Loki has entered myth status with this move at the end of this series, it feels to me like that's his place. He's like painted on the wall in the Norse church. So like, we're not going to see him again. And I don't think we need to. Maybe after that or during Secret Wars, we'll see more of that. Feels like the TVA is going to be a big thing. In Deadpool 3, it feels like it's going to be more as a joke or like a light driver, and then Deadpool runs. So it won't be as important, I think. But and the real question just goes back to He Who Remains and Kang and where we are going with that.
I think, though, that, you know, we have such great actors that we can see them in different ways. And what's nice is, like Justin was talking about, maybe we have some fun with the Loki threads and ropes where we go to different worlds and get to see more of Eugene's life or any of, you know, key stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to explore stuff.
And maybe a series that we haven't been talking about but is still coming out, I believe, is What If? Mm-hmm. Which is basically what you just said, Pete, potentially just like, let's screw around.
Yeah. That's supposedly coming out by the end of the year. Obviously a lot of release schedules are shifting, so we'll see what happens there. I would say I would love to see a TVA series. Like, it doesn't have to include Loki. If, like they were saying earlier, Justin, give us, you know, Done in One Adventures with a light overarching plot where they chase after Kangs or go do solve time travel mysteries or whatever they're going to do. That's great. This cast is great. Yeah. I'd love to see it. Marvel has said that they're going to try to do more actual TV series going forward. It's such an easy concept to do. There have been a million time travel shows. I don't think there's been like a time travel agency show, like a detective show.
Procedural.
Yeah, exactly. perfect setup for that. And great cast. I hope they bring them back. All right. I hope they bring us back as well. And if you would like to support we will be back.
Patreon. What's next for us, Alex, before you go into
Sure. Well, next is going to be the Marvels. We are going to talk about that. So we'll have an episode of that. Also coming up in January is going to be Echo. All five episodes are dropping.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll do some news and maybe some, there's still a couple of movies we need to catch up on. So maybe we'll try to do that the intervening time. Regardless.
Echo, what if, potentially?
Yeah.
I do have one more question.
Oh, yeah.
When we see Timely in the middle of the episode, does he say pumpkins?
He does say pumpkins. Yeah.
Why did he say pumpkins?
I don't know. It was very distracting.
That was very weird.
I turned to my wife and I was like, did he just say pumpkins?
Yeah. Okay, good. I thought I was having a time loop.
Yeah. I like checking in with baby Victor Timely and him looking out the window and be like, well, nothing for me. Back to
no books here.
Yeah, no books being thrown in my window.
Back to my candle making, which is just fine.
Weird. If you'd like to support this podcast and our candle making, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the MCU. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
I like the point where Loki has a line, replace it with something better. I wanted him to turn to the screen and say, maybe the X-Men.
Pumpkins.
Adventure awaits at every turn in Cedar City, Utah. Hike through breathtaking Red Rock Canyons, bike along scenic trails, and enjoy a meal at one of our favorite restaurants. While you're in town, catch a show at the Utah Shakespeare Festival, a Tony Award-winning theater experience with shows going all summer. Bring the whole family for unforgettable moments, from thrilling outdoor adventures and stunning national parks to charming downtown festivals and events. There's so much to discover in Cedar City, Utah. Check out visitcedarcity.com to learn more.